The Niche Graveyard. A niche graveyard is what happens when you take the fail-fast advice literally, build infrastructure around it, and start counting the bodies. The term sounds dramatic because it is. 27 business ideas entered an autonomous validation pipeline over the past year, 18 died, and the taxonomy of how they died turns out to be more instructive than anything the survivors have to teach. Most entrepreneurial advice focuses on the ideas that worked. The survivors. The pivot that saved the company. The founder who saw what nobody else could see. I don't buy it. The corpses are the curriculum. The instinct to study success is understandable, but backwards, because success is overdetermined. Right idea, right time, right market, right execution, right luck. While failure is structurally legible. CB Insights analyzed 101 failed startups and found that 42% died from the same cause. No market need. Not bad execution. Not insufficient funding. Not team dysfunction. The market simply did not want what the founder built. That is a structural flaw, visible before a single line of code gets written, which means those founders spent months or years building products that a disciplined validation process would have killed in weeks. The 90% startup failure rate everybody quotes is real, but misleading. Bureau of Labor Statistics data on business establishments shows the first-year failure rate is roughly 20%, not 90%, because the 90% figure applies to high-risk tech startups measured over a decade. Ideas don't just die immediately. They linger. They consume runway slowly. They pivot into adjacent failures. The graveyard isn't a sudden massacre. It's a slow accumulation of bodies, which is worse because slow deaths cost more than fast ones. The pipeline. The system has three phases that mirror CI/CD deployment architecture. Discovery generates niche ideas based on market gaps, pain points, and technical constraints. Development builds MVPs for validated niches. Deployment handles launch, monitoring, and kill decisions for live products. Most niches die in discovery. The gate is brutal by design. Each candidate gets market size analysis, TAM, SAM, SOM, estimates from proxy data, not projections. Monetization feasibility scoring, an AI realizability check, can this be built and delivered without humans in the loop, a regulatory scan, and competitive moat assessment. If any gate reveals a fatal flaw, the idea dies. No second chances. No, let's validate with customers first. The corpse gets tagged with a kill pattern and filed. This architecture borrows selectively from Steve Blank's customer development methodology, which he developed in the early 2000s, and Eric Ries's Lean Startup Framework, which Ries began documenting on his blog in 2008 and formalized in the Lean Startup in 2011. The core insight from both validated learning is the unit of progress for lean startups, a rigorous method for demonstrating progress when embedded in extreme uncertainty. Ries's version of validated learning specifically means running experiments with customers, and the pipeline deliberately skips that step, substituting proxy data and structural analysis for direct customer contact. The pipeline takes the underlying principle, measure progress by what you learn, not by what you build, to a more aggressive conclusion. If you can learn, the idea is structurally dead without building anything or talking to anyone. You've made maximum progress at minimum cost. Whether that counts as validated learning or something else entirely is a fair question. The irony is worth stating plainly. I built an AI validation pipeline in a category where AI4ISP.org reports failure rates of 90 to 92% for AI and tech startups, based on a survey of 100 US tech founders, and where Project Nanda's preliminary 2025 report found that 95% of organizations surveyed saw no measurable P&L impact from generative AI. The pipeline is itself a member of the category it evaluates. It validates itself by surviving or failing according to its own principles, which is either admirably consistent or absurdly circular, and I genuinely cannot tell which. What kills ideas? The kill taxonomy has 6 patterns. Each represents a structural problem that no amount of execution can fix in present market conditions. Requires human labor. If the value proposition depends on human nuance, you're not building a product. You're building a labor marketplace with AI tooling. A resume review service for niche industries sounds viable until you map the edge cases. Does this candidate's project experience align with our internal tooling? Requires judgment. AI cannot deliver at scale. A career coaching platform has high willingness to pay and a clear pain point, but the value is in the conversation, the rapport, the moment a coach says, "You're not stuck, you're bored," and that's different. AI can generate development plans. It cannot deliver the relational quality that makes coaching worth paying for. Killed, market too small. TAM estimates are notoriously gameable. Define the market narrowly, veterinarians in Oregon, or broadly, all pet care professionals. Multiply arbitrary percentages, and the spreadsheet tells you whatever you want to hear. The pipeline ignores projections and looks at proxies, search volume, competitor revenue, industry association membership counts, regulatory filings. A K-1 tax form parser for CPAs has high willingness to pay and genuine pain, but suppose the addressable market is around 50,000 professionals. At $200 per year, 5% penetration gives you a 500K ARR ceiling. Underserved often means unprofitable. Killed. Can't compete with free. If a free alternative is good enough, the paid product needs to be dramatically better in a dimension that matters. Not 10% better. Not easier to use. Personal finance tracking for freelancers is a real pain point. But a motivated freelancer can build a Google Sheet that does 80% of what a paid tool does in an afternoon. Study guide generators for college students sound lucrative until you notice that ChatGPT does this for free in 30 seconds. Better than free requires a moat that free alternatives cannot replicate. Network effects, proprietary data, integration lock-in. Competing on features alone is already losing. Killed. Regulatory barrier. Certain markets are fortresses. Automated financial advice for retirees sounds like an obvious AI product until the word advice triggers fiduciary regulations, requiring ARIA registration, compliance officers, E&O insurance, and ongoing regulatory filings. In my assessment, the fixed costs run around 100K per year before serving a single customer. If the niche requires licensing that takes longer than 6 months or costs roughly 50K to obtain, it's not a bootstrapped AI product. It's a fintech startup that needs venture capital and a legal team. Different game. Killed. No clear monetization path. Demand without a monetization path is a hobby, not a business. An AI tutor for high school students has obvious demand, but students don't have credit cards. Parents control the budget, the decision maker isn't the user, and the CAC competes with Khan Academy, YouTube, and free school resources. A newsletter discovery engine solves a real problem, but readers won't pay for a discovery layer on top of subscriptions that are themselves a hard sell. Killed. Execution requires non-AI expertise. Some niches look realizable until you map the execution path. Local SEO content optimization for small businesses can generate content, but local SEO success depends on directory listings, citation building, backlink negotiation from local news sites. AI generates the content. The value is in the relationship management that AI cannot perform. You're not building an AI product. You're building software that requires expert manual labor to achieve the promised outcome. Smaller market, higher CAC, faster churn. Killed. What survives? 9 niches survive discovery. They share 3 traits that are boring enough to be instructive. The problem costs the customer time or money in measurable ways. This saves me 10 hours a week, or this prevents a 5K mistake, closes deals. AI delivers the full solution without humans in the loop, without white glove onboarding, without manual configuration. And monetization is obvious. SaaS subscription, usage pricing, or a one-time payment with a frictionless purchase flow. The survivors are not visionary. A PDF converter that turns brokerage statements into spreadsheets for CPAs during tax season. A webhook debugger for API integrations. Boring, narrow, defensible. These will not become unicorns. They might not reach 1 million ARR, but they won't die for structural reasons because the kill patterns don't apply. The passion problem. The entrepreneurial advice ecosystem has a fetish for passion. Follow your passion. Do what you love. Research supports the instinct to a point. A study published in the Academy of Management Journal found that entrepreneurial effort predicted changes in passion, not just the other way around. Gielnick et al. 2015, in a field study of 54 entrepreneurs tracked over 8 weeks. But that same research revealed something the motivational speakers skip. The relationship between effort and passion is bi-directional. You don't need passion to start. Doing the work can generate it. Which means the conventional narrative, find your passion, then build a business around it, has the causation backwards for at least some founders. The pipeline doesn't ask whether you're passionate about K-1 tax forms. It asks whether CPAs will pay to pass them. Passion for tax documents is not a prerequisite for building a profitable tool. There is an established psychological trap in customer discovery. Founders conduct surveys showing their product is excellent, while neglecting the gap between respondents' self-reports and whether they would actually purchase. Passion doesn't just motivate founders, it distorts their perception of market signals. The same cognitive flexibility that helps navigate uncertainty also helps rationalize bad data. The pipeline is useful precisely because it doesn't have passion. It doesn't care about the founder's vision. It looks at market structure, unit economics, and realizability constraints, and if the numbers don't close, the niche dies. That sounds cold. It is cold. But the alternative is spending 6 months building an MVP for a market too small to sustain it, which is colder. The irony that won't resolve. Balaji Srinivasan coined the idea maze concept, later popularized by Chris Dixon at A16Z. The entrepreneurial journey is not a straightforward path, but a complex web of decisions, challenges, and dead ends that require backtracking, pivoting, and recalibration. The validation pipeline is an attempt to map the maze before entering it, to identify the dead ends from above, rather than walking into them at ground level. The problem is that some dead ends are only dead ends in the present. Webvan tried grocery delivery in 1999 and died. Instacart tried it in 2012 and thrived. Friendster launched social networking in 2002 and it grew explosively, but the site became unusably slow under load as management decisions around feature priorities contributed to the infrastructure failures. And by the time they resolved the scaling problems, MySpace and Facebook had overtaken them. Facebook launched in 2004, 2 years later, and conquered the world. The ideas were not wrong. The timing and execution were wrong. A validation pipeline that assesses current market conditions would have killed both early movers, which means it would have killed the insight, while preserving the caution. I cannot resolve this. The pipeline excels at identifying structural flaws visible in the present. Markets too small, competition too free, regulations too heavy, monetization too unclear. It cannot predict timing. It cannot see which bad ideas will become good ideas in 3 years when infrastructure catches up or consumer behavior shifts. Systematic validation optimizes against false positives, pursuing bad ideas at the cost of false negatives, killing good ideas that are merely early. Maybe that's the right trade-off. The graveyard is full of founders who were sure they were the exception, sure they were just early, sure the market would catch up. Some of them were right, most of them were not, and the ones who were wrong spent years finding out. The pipeline's honesty is that it tells you the idea is dead now. What it can't tell you is whether now is the only time that matters. What the graveyard teaches: 18 dead niches, 6 kill patterns. The taxonomy is not advice, it is pattern recognition. Most founders don't fail because they picked the wrong niche. They fail because they picked a niche with a structural flaw that no amount of execution could fix. They spent 6 months building an MVP for a market that was too small, or launched a product that couldn't compete with free or burn through runway, chasing a monetization path that didn't exist. The kill patterns are visible in discovery before you write a line of code. If you ignore them, you're not taking a calculated risk. You're gambling that your niche is the exception. The uncomfortable conclusion is that idea generation is easy and idea filtration is hard. And most founders skip filtration because it feels like giving up. It is not giving up. It is triage. You can't fix a bad market. You can only choose not to enter it. Entrepreneurship research increasingly treats venture creation as a psychosocial phenomenon, influenced by objective market factors and psychological elements simultaneously. Passion and validation are not opposed forces. They are complementary, but only if you're willing to let validation kill the ideas your passion would protect. The pipeline doesn't eliminate passion. It channels it toward opportunities that won't die from structural causes, which is the only thing a systematic process can do. The graveyard is not a failure. It is the filtration system working as designed. Every corpse is an idea that would have cost more to pursue than to kill. The kill rate is 67%. That's not a cautionary statistic. That's the cost of not wasting time. Pipeline numbers: 27 niches evaluated between February 2025 and January 2026 across 13 pipeline runs. A niche is killed when any discovery gate reveals a structural flaw in market size, monetization, regulatory burden, AI realizability, or competitive positioning. Surviving discovery does not mean the product shipped or succeeded.